The small town of Sparta, Georgia, is about 100 miles southeast of Atlanta. The town made headlines earlier this year. A lawsuit claims the Hancock County Board of Elections and Registration systematically questioned the registrations of more than 180 voters, most of them African American. Voters say the board sent sheriff's officers to people's doors and served them summons with orders to appear in court and prove their residency. Marty Flannoy is one of these voters and involved in the lawsuit. He spoke with producer Linda Chen and recounts what happened.
I was walking from my apartment, which is on Broad Street, and all of a sudden, I seen a police officer approach me on the driver's side. And he broke down the window. Hey, sir, come here. And I like, I haven't did anything. He said, no, I ain't trying to do that to you right now. And he just served me a subpoena. He really did kind of make me nervous about the whole situation because I ain't too familiar with police and we don't get along that good. I took the subpoena and I went down my cousin's house. She told me that we had to go to court. From there, I had end up showing my lease and a copy of my registration, which is my driver's license. Why did I get subpoenaed, and what's the reason why they approached me that way? Which they could have just called my phone or whatever I had, but I was just humiliated.
We reached out to the Hancock County Board of Elections for comment. We did not hear back from them in time for this broadcast. The lawsuit is still pending. Not long ago, elections officials would have needed approval from the U.S. Justice Department to purge voters' names off the rolls. That changed in 2013 when the Supreme Court struck down a key provision of the Voting Rights Act. In 70 days, we will carry out the first presidential election since those changes were made in the Voting Rights Act. What effect might that have? I'm joined from New York by Ari Berman. He's writer for The Nation and also author of the book, Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. Ari, welcome back.
Good morning. Thank you for having me back.
Also with us from Washington, D.C. is David Becker. He was an attorney with the U.S. Justice Department, where he monitored thousands of polling sites in the early 2000s. Thanks for being here as well again, David.
Thank you, Celeste.
So, Ari, what effects could we see because of those changes in the Voting Rights Act? How is it different for a presidential election as opposed to local elections?
Well, we're seeing a big impact from the gutting of the Voting Rights Act. As you mentioned, this is the first presidential election in 50 years without the full protections of the Voting Rights Act, and it's the first presidential election since the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act. And so we're seeing the impact both on a state level and at a local level. On a state level, states have passed more sweeping voting restrictions that would have been blocked under the Voting Rights Act previously. And on the local level, we're seeing an impact that things like in Sparta, where black voters are being purged from the rolls or polling places are being shut down in majority black neighborhoods. Those are the very type of things that the Voting Rights Act had previously stopped. So we're seeing an impact both on the state level and at the local level. And it's very distressing that we're 70 days away from the election and this stuff is going on.
David, Ari describes what happened in the Supreme Court as gutting the Voting Rights Act. Is that fair?
Well, it had a very significant impact on the ability of the Justice Department to enforce voting rights laws in the states that were covered by Section 5. I think, without question, federal oversight in states that had traditionally seen voting rights problems, civil rights problems, has been significantly impacted. I think one other thing to keep in mind, though, is that the election officials across the country are trying to do a very difficult job, especially in a presidential election year. Certainly what happened in Sparta seems like it's likely excessive, given what I understand about it. But in most places, election officials are trying to do the very difficult job of keeping the voter list as up-to-date and accurate as possible, making sure that all eligible voters who want to be on the rolls are, but only eligible voters are as well, and they have the most up-to-date information on where those people live so they can get them the correct information, send them to the right polling place, and thus avoid problems on election day. Georgia and other states, of course, especially in presidential election years, can see very long lines in a presidential election year because it's the one time every 4 years that we see such large numbers of people all coming to a single location at the same period of time to exercise their civic rights.
So, Ari, when we talk about purging of voter rolls, there are ways to do that in a fair and constitutional way. Have you seen instances, Ari, this time around of purging of voter rolls that are not fair?
Well, what's happening in Sparta, just as one example, is very alarming. It appears that African-American voters are being purged there for both racial and political reasons. The fact that law enforcement is being used is incredibly disturbing. This is a direct echo of things that happened during Jim Crow and after. I write in my book, Give Us the Ballot, for example, when many voters were enfranchised in states like Alabama, you had sheriffs who previously enforced segregation that would come to people's houses when they requested things like absentee ballots to make sure that they weren't home on election day. Otherwise, they were going to be charged by a crime. So there's a long history of law enforcement being used in a discriminatory manner to suppress voting rights. There's a long history of black voters being purged from the voting rolls or not allowed to even register in the first place. So when it happens again in a state like Georgia with a long history of this discrimination, we have to be very wary of it, in my opinion.
So, David, what are the limits of voter purges, and how does somebody go about challenging if they've been purged off the list? How do you do that?
So, again, election officials in Georgia's 159 counties and at the state level and, of course, across the country have this very hard job. There's a lot of mobility that occurs within a four-year period of time when most people vote. And so,
you mean they may have moved out of state or moved to another county?
Exactly. Or even within the county to a different address. So trying to keep up with that mobility is very, very difficult. And this is part of the research that I've done over the my past 20 years in working in elections, and it's a legitimate challenge. It's a very difficult thing to try to make sure that you have accurate information on all the voters. And so there, under the National Voter Registration Act, which was passed in 1993, there is a process. The process is that election officials are allowed to contact voters, usually by mail, see if mail has been returned as undeliverable or something along those lines. And then if that's the case, if a piece of mail gets returned, for instance, what they can do is then what's called inactivate that voter from the list. That just means that that voter's record stays on the list. It's flagged as inactive. And if the voter has any contact with election officials within the next two federal election cycles, so it could be somewhere between 2 to 4 years, that voter's instantly activated. So if they show up to vote, if they sign a petition, if they show up at the election office, whatever, if any kind of contact, they instantly get activated. So that's an intermediate step before what's commonly called a purge, where that registration is effectively canceled, and they can no longer vote. That process generally works pretty well so long as the information that election officials receive is solid, and that's always a challenge for election officials. I don't know a single election official in the country, Republican or Democrat, anywhere in the country, who wants to remove an eligible voter from the lists. But I also don't know many who want to keep people who are otherwise ineligible, maybe because they moved out of the state or because they've died, on the list. And it's a very careful balance that they need to set to make sure that the lists are as accurate and up-to-date as possible, because if the lists are inaccurate, if people are on the list but with bad information because they've moved, that will cause delays at the polls on election day, and those election officials are sure going to hear about it.
And Ari, we get this question from Joel Cook on Twitter, who says, what if someone isn't registered and decides last minute? That's different from a voter purge. What has shifted in the country, and especially in Georgia, in terms of when you can register and whether you can do it same day?
Well, this is a big problem in many states, is that lots of states have registration deadlines, for example, in October. So there could be a presidential debate, people could be tuning in, and it's too late to register to vote in a bunch of states in the country. And that's why something like Election Day registration is so valuable in states like Wisconsin and Minnesota that have had Election Day registration in place since the 1970s. Voter turnout has increased by up to 10%. So that's really the one way we know to get more people on the voter rolls. I also just want to say something about automatic registration, because Secretary Kemp said that he's not in favor of that in Georgia. Yeah. Automatic registration is one way to not only get a lot more people registered, but to make the voter rolls more secure, because you'll have better databases. David could speak to this more, but I was just in Oregon, which is the first state to implement automatic voter registration. And their voter rolls are far more accurate now and far more secure than they were before they had this form of automatic registration. And more than 200,000 people have been added to the voter rolls. So it's having a very big impact in terms of both adding new people and in terms of making voter rolls more secure, which is a stated Republican priority.
We are getting a lot of responses from people listening, and we would love to get your thoughts out there as well. You can tweet us at OST Talk or join the conversation on Facebook. My guests are writer Ari Berman of The Nation and election expert David Becker. David, automatic registration means that you're basically, it's tied to your driver's license. Which explains why it's more accurate, because most of us get our driver's license updated more often than we do our voter registration. And in fact, we got a question from one of our listeners saying, Fleming Stone says, I'd like to hear more of Kemp's reasons against automatic registration. His ability to deny hard evidence is astounding. Could automatic voter registration become a federal policy?
Well, I think we've seen challenges in trying to get any kind of national policies through Congress, including in the election area. And there's some very good reasons not necessarily to implement a national policy with a one-size-fits-all solution for all the states in some cases. So, for instance, things like very good reforms like online voter registration was started because states started experimenting with that. Arizona started experimenting with it in 2002, and then Washington State followed in 2008. Now 32 states have online voter registration. It's very unlikely an interesting and very positive reform like that would have first come from Washington and been implemented, imposed upon the states from Washington. So there's some really good aspects of letting the states experiment with new reforms. And certainly automatic voter registration, same-day registration, things like online voter registration and data sharing that some states are doing through things like the Electronic Registration Information Center, which I helped co-found.
Ari, one of the things that has been spoken of here is whether or not challenges to voter purges, and we have a couple lawsuits here in Georgia filed by Common Cause and by the NAACP, are politically motivated. And Michael King of Emory even suggested that that's become part of the political strategy to file lawsuits to challenge votes. What have we seen of that? And especially because people are predicting that Georgia could possibly be a battleground state.
Well, there's a lot of evidence in Georgia that people are being purged from the voting rolls in places like Sparta, and that lawsuits needed to be filed. So I can't speak to the motivations of all of the lawsuits, but the evidence I've seen in some of these local jurisdictions is quite compelling, and it makes sense that lawsuits were filed. And there's litigation all across the country over restrictive voting laws. These kind of voter purges can have a very big impact. If I can just tell a quick story about what happened during the 2000 election in Florida. Thousands of people were wrongly labeled as felons in Florida and purged from the voting rolls. Florida was one of only a few states that prevented ex-felons from voting at the time. And people who were legit registered voters were wrongly labeled as felons. They were prevented from voting. After the election, the NAACP sued Florida after that very close disputed 2000 election in Florida. And it turned out that 12,000 registered voters were wrongly labeled as felons and prevented from voting. And that was 22 times George W. Bush's 537 vote margin of victory. And we only learned about this after the election, when it was too late, when the results had already been decided, when George W. Bush had already become president, when people could not get their right to vote back. So when people are removed from the voting rolls, often it is for good reasons. But if it's not for good reasons, we have to do something about it before it's too late.
So, Ari, we have a number of things that are of concern as we approach this election, to my mind. One is the fact that, as we mentioned, this is the first presidential election since the Supreme Court made those changes to the Voting Rights Act. Then there's this issue, the specter of foreign hacking, which the FBI says we have evidence has occurred in a couple states. We have some lawsuits going forward. There's a lot of different things happening, not to mention Donald Trump claiming that the election may be rigged in places, and also the thought on some people's minds that one of the candidates, should they lose, not concede. What What are you concerned about? What are you watching for in November?
What I am concerned about are efforts to make it harder to vote that prevent legitimately eligible citizens from being able to vote. What I'm also concerned about is that phony rhetoric about the likelihood of voter fraud that we're hearing from the Trump campaign and others is going to deter people from participating, is going to lead to more voting restrictions, and is also going to lead to a culture of intimidation at the polls. Remember, Trump has called on law enforcement to monitor the voting on Election Day in places like Pennsylvania, which is not only illegal in states like Pennsylvania, but could lead to a chilling atmosphere at the polls. So I believe we're in a very toxic place when it comes to the fact that there are laws making it harder to vote. And then there's this whole narrative about the likelihood of fraud, which is very misplaced, that is going to lead, in my view, to a culture of potentially intimidation and problems on Election Day that I think it's very, very important to debunk before it's too late.
We only have 30 seconds left, Ari, but are those all those things your concerns about that? Does that only come into play, do you think, if the election is close?
It certainly has a bigger impact if the election is close. I mean, we noticed the impact of new voting restrictions in elections like in Florida 2000 that are decided by 537 votes. My opinion is that if anyone is turned away from the polls, that's wrong. But I think we can see more of a political impact, certainly in close races. And I think we're going to see close races in Georgia and elsewhere in 2016.
That is Ari Berman of The Nation, who also wrote the book called Give Us the Ballot, The Modern Struggle for Voting Rights in America. We lost touch with election expert David Becker. Ari, thank you so much.
Great to talk to you, Celeste. Thank you.
That's our show for today. But do you plan to vote? A lot of people say they're frustrated with politics and they just might stay home. Are you one of them? Call us at 404-500-9457, tweet us at OST Talk or at Celeste Headley. For today, that's On Second Thought. From GPB News, I'm Celeste Headley. Have a great day.